What a show we have lined up for you today here on New Hampshire's Next Generation Sports Talk Radio, The Sports Machine with Slim. We will have the Pistol on today to talk about all things NBA. We will have Thomas Polk on to talk about the Bruins and the crazy seeding changes that are going on and that can possibly go on over the next few days in the NHL. I think my brother Dave will be calling in to give the opposite take of what I'm about to give right now to open up the show. I will say I am a little bit disappointed because these dumb apps on the phone and the internet, they rob us all of some enjoyment sometimes. And the reason I'm upset a little bit here is this morning earlier, I was doing research for the show, and I'm looking at the Shohei Ohtani stuff, and the interpreter, Ippe Mizuhara is the guy's name. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but rather than Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, we probably ought to give this guy his just due and name him according to his real name, which apparently is Ippe Mizuhara. Well, I wanted to see how much does Ippe Mizuhara earn. Like, I just wanted to see if I could get a ballpark of how much money this guy earned. And I was really, I don't know, want to say delighted, but entertained to find an article that was published on MSN.com. And I can see the article right here on my phone back. I don't even know when the date was. I apologize, but it was 3 months ago. They did this special story on Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. And this is before everybody knows about this huge, ridiculous gambling scandal that has gone on, which yesterday additional details were revealed. If people don't know, over the course of the last few years, this guy's gambling account shows total bets made just a ridiculous amount, but the total amount of money that was won during the last few years, $183 million. Total amount of money lost, $142 million. Oh, sorry, the other way around. Yeah, of course it was the other way around. That was a joke right there, people. You do not win $40 million gambling. Nobody does. Everybody loses, as did Ippe Mizuhara, a.k.a. Shohei Ohtani and friends. This guy's betting account is negative $40 million over the last, like, 3 years combined. He was betting so many bets every single day, ranging from $10 up to, like, $160,000 per bet, and all the details have come out. But the point is, he's down $40 million over the course of 3 years. So I'm like, wait a minute. You have an interpreter who is down $40 million. How much is this guy making? So I find this website, this article. How much does Shohei Ohtani's translator, Ippe Mizuhara, earn on MSN, Microsoft's news site? That's the title of the article from 3 months ago, before all this stuff comes out. And I was delighted to hear, I read in the article, translators typically earn somewhere between, like, in this situation, like $80,000 to $125,000. But it's likely that Ippe Mizuhara earns more than that. And I'm reading through more and more. I'm just like, okay, so let's say this guy's making $200,000. You're a bookie. Right, you're a bookmaker, and you start to deal with a dude where you allow this guy, he's making literally $180 million, $140 million. He, in total, is making over $300 million worth of bets over the course of a couple of years. You might at some point, like, talk to the guy and ask some questions about, so, hey, what do you do for work? Like, okay, you know, they're bumping him up $1 million on his credit line, $500,000 at a time. You might want to be like, so, hey, you know, you have this money? You're going to be good for it if I bump your credit limit up to $2 million, meaning that you could lose $2 million and you owe me? I'm going to trust you that, like, if you win $2 million, I'm going to come up and show you the cash. Here you go. I'll meet up with you next week. But if you lose $2 million, okay, I'll trust you that you're going to come and find me. Like, dude, bookmakers, if they're going to give you $2 million credit lines, they want to know what you're making for money, how you have money, and that type of stuff. They're not just going to give you that type of a credit line. Well, all they would have to do is Google interpreter and how much does somebody make to find out that ballpark, this Ohtani interpreter, Ipe Mizuara guy, is maybe making $200,000 to $500,000 at the most. Yet you're giving him a gambling credit line of multi-millions of dollars. And where the public expected to believe this? I mean, none of us really do. Obviously, it was Ohtani gambling. Obviously. Like, this is 4+4 on a piece of paper right in front of our eyes. And people are going, oh, no, it's not 8. No. And the great thing is you can find the articles today. This one I'm not banned out of. The reason why I'm upset is I can't access this stupid MSN article because I already did once. So I cut the link to it and I put it in my phone. I texted it to myself so I can come back to it later, right? I closed out of it earlier this morning. I'm like, all right, I'll go back to that. Well, now it goes, you have to continue reading in the app. So now I need to download an app to be able to read this article, which I'm just not going to do. But apparently because I already read it once, I'm locked out. And I can't find the app on the website here at work. So I can't give the best commentary on it. You got to find this article. Just Google how much does Shohei Ohtani's translator, Ipe Mizuhara, earn? MSN. And hopefully you'll find it. Oh, Sarab Sami. Okay, I can do it by the author, I bet. I can find it on this. But this is a total joke. If I read this article to you, this is because this is before he got found out to be busted for so much gambling. They're writing this wicked positive article about this guy and like how he's this great interpreter and the great relationship with Ohtani. I got to be able to read this. I can't. The problem is, see, I'm by myself, so I can't talk into the radio and do research at the same time. If I had like more people to help, then I'd be able to find the article and read it for you because it is an absolute riot how they're like complimenting this guy and he's this great interpreter. He's trusted by Ohtani. He's got all these things. Oh man, what a great, I have to be able to find it. This is like off the Onion or one of these pretend websites, but it's a real article that was written. And then we come find out it's all crashing down. And now it's like, wait a second, why would people cover for this guy? Because one of the texts that the authorities now have is from the bookmaker. And the bookmaker texting back and forth with Ipe Mizuhara over the last couple of years. They have the records of it. And he texts him, Ipe Mizuhara goes, hey, did you see the news? Like the day that he's getting busted. And this is all coming out in the media for the first time a couple months ago. And Ipe Mizuhara sends that text to the bookmaker. And the bookmaker goes, well, obviously, we know it wasn't you stealing from him. Like, that's just to cover people's rear end or something like that. Like, the bookmaker text that back to the guy, and the Ipe guy responds, well, actually, I am stolen. I'm all done. I was stealing. I am all done, or something like that. Like, obviously, this is just a coordinated thing to keep the press and everything off of Ohtani. Now, why would that be? Let me just paint the picture for you people, you morons that don't get it. Ohtani has a $700 million contract, most of which is deferred into the future. If he is caught gambling hundreds of millions of dollars with an illegal bookmaking operation, he is going to have his contract with the Dodgers terminated. Like, he's not going to get access to all that money. You know what happens then? All the money for Ipe Mizuhara's people and everybody else, that money kaput. Nothing. So nobody is going to be getting paid. Ipe Mizuhara, if he's going to go to jail, he's okay to go to jail for a year or two, whatever the feds are going to end up charging with, and they're going to settle. Because at the end of the day, his family's going to be taken care of. Just be quiet. Take the rap, go down, take the big hit, my man, and we'll make sure you're paid off down the road. If you don't take the hit and you sing like a canary and you point the finger to Ohtani, first off, you're probably going to get whacked. But second of all, if we just want to be real, but second of all, there's going to be no money. you're going to be a disgrace. Like, and this guy's from Japan, right? Like, this is, you don't act like this. Gambling's, like, illegal in Japan on some levels. Sports gambling, I think. I mean, I don't know 100% about that. I think I read that on the article. But, like, this stuff is not supposed to be going on. So there's a lot of reasons for this guy to just kind of stay quiet, admit it, say, oh, yeah, I was stealing the money. Like, the bookmaker is allowing this $40 million in losses. Ohtani didn't miss $40 million from his account? Come on. Give me a break, dude. We'll get back to real sports instead of this ridiculous gambling story stuff. When we come back next, let's talk about the Boston Bruins here on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. So rich. And obviously, the media is out to, like, protect this story, because I'm trying to find it now on search engines, on Google and stuff, and it's, like, wicked hard to find. I'm able to stumble across an article here that says, how much does a Shohei Ohtani's translator, Ippi Mizuhara, make from essentially sports? But it doesn't have near the detail of what was in the original article that I had seen. I'm going to table this until a little bit later because I'm delighted to have Thomas Polk on the line here. Thomas, I don't know, did you hear my rant a little bit here ago here about Shohei Ohtani and this gambling situation with his interpreter?
It is what it is. Unfortunate situation, but it stuff happens.
Exactly. Stuff does happen, but it's just so funny with the media how things can change and you try and spin things. I'm going to read this from Essentially Sports. Given that every professional setup amounts to a cost and includes the role of an interpreter, understandably, Mizuhara, who played the same role, was paid that cost as his earnings. However, this is not an exact number to it. This is a very poorly written article. Reportedly, he is amongst the most well-paid interpreters in the league, with others estimated to be getting $60,000 to $150,000 per year. Mizuhara is expected to top the list, all thanks to his association with Ohtani. The reason is the 2023 Hank Aaron Award winner's contract plus the fame and attention. This is visible in Ippi's social media following and appearances in commercials, which added to his earnings, which may go beyond $200,000 a year. Given the brilliant work he has done, it is well deserved, isn't it? This is, like, quote unquote, what the author wrote in this article about this interpreter guy, saying, okay, he might be making more than $200,000 a year, yet he's losing $40 million over the course of a couple of years. Very strange. Thomas, the Bruins, let's hope they're not gambling, but I'm going to tell you, I would be willing to gamble on the success of this Bruins team headed into the playoffs. Any things that you've uncovered in the last couple of days that we might want to know about the Bruins team and what they're looking forward to in the playoffs?
No, they'll be all right. I mean, obviously, last 10 games, right? They're 6-4. They're going to try to close out the last three. Going to be some good games for them. Obviously, the Penguins and Washington are fighting for that last spot there, that second wild card. So they're going to come to play. I mean, their season's on the line. So it'll be a good test there for the Bruins. And then obviously finishing up at home with Ottawa. We'll see what they do. I'm convinced they're going to rest maybe some of the guys. The only way I could see them playing with the full lineup and going for it is if they can still get, first in the East and kick off the Rangers there, who have only two games left but are 3 points ahead of us.
Well, anybody who listens to me knows that I can occasionally be somewhat of a moron. This morning I had texted you and said, hey, it looks like the New York Islanders are positioned to get into that 8 seed, and I was totally wrong. They're in the third spot in that Metropolitan Division. So what I was mostly intrigued by when I saw the Islanders have won 6 games in a row and they play the Rangers tomorrow, and the Bruins are only a couple points away from the from first place in the Eastern Conference. That's really where my mindset is going. Like, the Bruins could easily get the number one seed overall in the East, or they could conceivably fall down to, like, the number four seed in the East just over these remaining 3 games here over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a tight one there at the end, but it'll be a fun game to watch between the Islanders and the Rangers. They had some beef at the end of the game, their coach was adamant in the media that it was like a cheap shot on one of their superstar forwards who seems to be out for right now with what looks like concussion issues, which is not going to help them. So it'll be interesting to see if we're going to have a little repeat of what happened between the Rangers and the Devils when stuff like that happens. Now going into with the Islanders, obviously Islanders are not guaranteed a spot yet. They have a little cushion there towards Pittsburgh and Washington, but it'll be a great game. I mean, the Islanders definitely need it, and the Rangers probably want to slow that skid down, right? They lost the last couple Islanders, and then they did lose against, what did they lose to? Yesterday, the Flyers, which are still alive too. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be a fun couple games left here.
Thomas, what happened, though? I don't know about the Rangers and the Islanders. I know the other night the Islanders beat the Rangers. What, there was a cheap shot during the game and one of the better players for the Rangers is out? What?
So Semenejad cut across the neutral zone, and it looked like he was looking away and the Islanders player looks away, and they didn't see each other, and they ran into each other. Well, the New York Rangers coach thought that the Islanders guy did it on purpose. Honestly, watching the video, it's tough to tell. It looks like they're both looking in a different direction, but that's what their coach said. Then, obviously, the Islanders coach, Patrick Roy, kind of came out and said, you know, like, you can clearly see that they're not looking at each other. But then he took a little dig at the coach, kind of go, you know, when stuff gets tough, you have certain answers. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Islanders have now won six in a row. And this is what I'm saying in the Eastern Conference for the NHL. Like, dude, I don't know who you want to play. Not for nothing, the Bruins, like, do you want the one seed? You might be better off being the number four seed. Number two is going to have to maybe play Tampa Bay, who did lose last night, but they've been hot 6-2-2 in their last 10. It's like it's almost, for me, Thomas, I think we'd be most confident if we fell into the second spot in our division and played the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round, but that's kind of a loser's mentality to be thinking about, well, hey, we want to move backwards to play Toronto.
No, I agree. I think you try the best you can, see where you fall in, and whoever comes, comes. First round in the NHL playoffs, in my opinion, the most exciting rounds of any playoffs in sports, just because of the fact that anybody can beat anybody, and you have absolutely no idea who's going to come out of it. I mean, if you look at the NBA, right, the top teams usually advance to the semifinals and finals. Every year, kind of the same thing. You kind of predict at the beginning, and there's very few upsets. Well, in hockey, the 8 seed, you know, a lot of the times has a chance to come through. I mean, you saw it last year with the Panthers. The LA Kings have won as the number 8 seed. Like, it happens way more in hockey than other sports.
Thomas, I feel like that was a not-so-subtle jab at me and my Celtics fandom because the 8-seeded Miami Heat beat up on the Celtics last year. Maybe they were 7 seed, whatever it was, but they were the long shot, and they took the Celtics down in the Eastern Conference Finals. And last night's Celtics performance was decrepit. And I'm like trying to distract myself with topics of other conversations before my boiling teapot head takes over the second half of this show. So thank you for keeping me on a level playing field for right now, I guess.
No, it'll be good. Yeah, I'm sure the Celtics will be all right.
I'm not so sure, Thomas.
No.
I'm not so sure at all. I'm actually jumping way off that bandwagon. If you're going to ask me which Boston team is going further in the playoffs, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins will go farther than the Celtics will, and I think the Bruins are going all the way. But even to the finals, my doubts about the Celtics are just like way worse today than they were yesterday, and they were somewhat big yesterday, actually.
Well, this is a little bit outside my lane, so I can't really comment on it. I haven't seen any of the games, but
if you had to pick today, what two teams will be meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals for the NHL? Don't even look at the seedings. Yeah, don't even worry about the seedings. Just say which two teams do you feel are ready?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I honestly think I'm going to give the Bruins a go on our end, and I think it's going to be the Carolina Hurricanes on the other side.
Even though Carolina, for my money, they're the betting favorite in the whole NHL, but when I watch the Bruins play Carolina, I think we're just better than them. The Rangers are the one team I watch and go, wait a minute, they might be more physical than us. Their goaltending I'm really into. The Rangers look tough, but I think with Carolina, like, I just don't, they don't look that skilled to me. But why do you think that they're the betting favorite, and why would you say they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I just have a feeling. The draft, the guys that they brought in on the trade deadline there with Gensel and Kuznetsov, they have good goaltending there as well. And they've been close a couple of times in the last 2 years. So I think they're going to get over the hump, but maybe a little outside shot, but I think they're going to get it done.
Okay, so that's me and my lack of NHL fandom stuff coming in. I didn't know Carolina was close. So their fan base is feeling really jacked up right now because they made a trade around the All-Star break here, and they're hoping for something better this season.
Yeah, I mean, they got a really good player in Jake Gensel from the Pittsburgh Penguins. So it was just contract issues, right? Pittsburgh wasn't sure if they're going to be able to pay him as much as he demands, and therefore they had to trade him. They didn't want to. I'm sure they didn't want to.
Well, the Pittsburgh. Yeah, well, I mean, Pittsburgh's challenging for the playoffs. If it ended right today, Pittsburgh would be in the playoffs. So you're telling me they traded one of their best players? Even I mean, that's not a fan. I don't want to be a fan of that.
He was a free agent at the end of the year, and I don't think they were going to be able to fit him under the cap for next year. So they have to get something in return. And, you know, I mean, you see him, I believe he played like 14 games for Carolina and got 21 points. So he can play, and he definitely updated. You know, upgraded their offensive talent. He might be the superstar forward that they were looking for next to Aho.
Thomas, you are the man. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I took up so much time talking today during your segment. We'll talk basketball here coming up next on the Sports Machine with Slim, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com. I found the article. It's really so great. Last week, the MLB world got its most prized star, Shohei Ohtani, the two-way phenom signed a $700 million contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The reason is his success and growth since his MLB debut in 2018. However, he was not alone in this impactful journey. Notably, his interpreter, Ippe Mizuhara, helped him by decoding every question the 2023 AL MVP faced. Like a true companion, it made it a dream team. But does Mizuhara earn his credit well? Given that Mizuhara joined Ohtani in his early MLB days and knows all the situations the player has been in, it includes his first paycheck, MVP awards, All-Star selection, and now more than half a billion-dollar contract. Undoubtedly, the Japanese wonder has achieved this all through his hard work, but Mizuhara only eased the situation for him. As the new Dodgers star is expected to earn millions at ease, this brings the question, how much Mizuhara is getting in return? What are his earnings? That was premonition or something like premonition? Let's talk about premonitions right now. I premonitionized that the Pistol is on the phone line right now. Am I correct with this? No. Apparently not. That's okay. Premonitionized, that's not a word, I suppose, anyway. Or maybe it is. Pistol? Can you hear me?
Hey, Slim, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Celtics fans, green teamers, the time has come to the coronation. Time to kick back in your lazy boy seat on the ottoman and watch your Celtics cruise to the NBA Finals. The East has never been weaker. 13 games above any other team. Tatum in the MVP conversation. It is cruise control. Flip the switch when you need to, all the way to the NBA Finals. Let's kill the trepidation in Celtics fan Tom's voice. Let's kill the hope talk of Slim. This is it. I am doing it. Celtics in the NBA Finals is a pistol guarantee.
Where is this coming from?
Well, we know how pistol guarantees go.
Not good. Not good. For people that don't know, Celtics lost last night, 118-109 after their bench crew came in and just absolutely lit up the scoreboard over the final 3 to 4 minutes of the game, because the Celtics were down by like 27 at one point. They were down halftime 69-48. Pistol, what do you think about this statistic I wrote down? At halftime, the Celtics had been out-rebounded 32-17. For the whole game, they were out-rebounded 52-36. What do you think last night? Was that because the Celtics didn't care?
It's got to be not caring. But I do wonder, like, isn't the reason that we brought Jrue Holiday in to be able to lock down opposing point guards? And when the opposing point guard is going for 39 and just waltzing in, like, there's got to be something done. Like, this team is soft, my friend, real soft, and that's not a good sign for the playoffs.
It's definitely not. In fact, I wrote down in my notebook last night, Jaylen Brown is the Caleb Love of the NBA. And for people who were here a couple weeks ago during the NCAA tournament, I told you Caleb Love is a net negative. The guy just will keep shooting and make boneheaded plays. He's actually a hurtful thing for your team. And I'm there with Jaylen Brown. I came on and I bashed him a bunch yesterday, and he comes out last night, dude, 6-for-15 from the field, 1-for-5 from three-point land, 3 turnovers. I think he had 2 offensive fouls. He just doesn't. I'm sorry. Jaylen Brown needs to go, Pistol.
Slim, you've gone full circle. I heard you yesterday, and you said that if the Celtics came down to a final shot in the conference finals, you'd want Jrue Holiday to go one-on-one in the post. And as the season has progressed, I think you've selected each member of the Celtics starting lineup to take a game-winning final shot. You need some consistency. You need to be on Tatum's side for those opportunities, or you'll be stuck as a guest on the Sports Machine with Pistol.
I am a complete lunatic. I understand this. I recognize this. The Celtics have done this to me, Pistol. It's been 5 years in a row. I've lost tons of money betting on this team, and I just will not do it anymore. I said I had the revelation a couple weeks ago. I don't think they're going to win anymore. I hope they're going to win. But last night's game makes me hope they're going to lose. If they play the Knicks, I'm rooting for the Knicks.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But that's how I've always been. I don't like Joe Mazzulla's style. I don't like the Celtics' style of play. That's why I'm not a Celtics fan. But you got to admit, they are 13 games ahead. They have nothing to play for at the moment, right? What I think the coach should be doing is probably just resting his guys rather than putting him out there and having him not try, because that's not a good look, and that doesn't make him ready for the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting, because that 7 and 8 seed, if it does land 76ers and Heat, or even Pacers, right? Like that's not like a cakewalk series. It's not like you're facing the Atlanta Hawks last year.
Totally agree with you, and we can get into the standings if we have time to do rapid fire back and forth. I will say, I think based on who teams are playing, Philadelphia is going to slide up into that sixth or maybe even fifth spot. I think Philadelphia will move up into the fifth spot. I just, the way they are playing right now, they're going to win their last couple games. Orlando and the Sixers actually play tonight, I believe it is, Pistol. And there's still a ton of movement that can happen in the NBA settings and standings, just like we were just talking about in the NHL. It's nutso. But what I will say from a statistics standpoint, last night, I think Jalen Brunson took at least 2 charges. I think the announcer said 3. When they overturned the Jaylen Brown that originally was called a defensive foul, and then they went and New York challenged it, and it got overturned, and then, no, it was, in fact, the charge. I think Jaylen Brown had 2 charging fouls last night after a result of that. But how many times has Jason Tatum taken a charge this year? I'm going to guess 0. Jaylen Brunson from the Knicks took 3 in 1 game.
Dude, that's what Jaylen Brunson is. He is a dog, man, and there is no better way to have a leader like that with Tom Thibodeau, you know, at your right-hand side. Like, that team is going to be really good, and those three Villanova guys, those guys know how to play together. They won a national championship together. That team is good. I mean, the one thing that might happen is the Knicks and Sixers might play each other in the first round, so at least you're getting rid of one of them.
That's what we've, like, shriveled to. and myself as a Boston Celtics fan, I'm like, oh, hopefully we get an easy road and the other teams can beat us. It's like, you know, they can knock each other out and then we'll play an easier team. Like in the second round, looking at right now, like Cleveland against Orlando. Like, dude, if Cleveland or Orlando are the four fives, I think the Celtics definitely going to beat those two teams. They're just not tough enough to beat us and not skilled enough. But the Knicks have the toughness advantage with they have that Hartstein and they have Mitchell Robinson. Those guys are bigger and tougher than Kristaps Porzingis. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Kristaps, the glass tower. I don't know how long he's even going to last in the playoffs, but we'll see. And I think he's a very important piece to how far they actually go. So that part is going to be really interesting. I think the Knicks have a nice matchup against the Celtics. And same with the Sixers, right? They both have big men who play physical, play tough. I think the Orlando Magic might be an interesting matchup. Like, they're just young. They, you know, who knows what they can do in the playoffs, but they're going to be an interesting team. I hope they get by the Cavs if those two teams play each other.
Agreed. And we know last year the Knicks took out the Cavs when the Cavs were heavily favored to beat them in the playoffs in round one. And the Knicks went and took care of business. The Knicks last year, something seems different. Jalen Brunson just seems like a real bad man. Pistol, I taped something off of the TNT broadcast last night. You want me to play it for you? We probably only have a couple minutes. Listen to this. Let's see if I can get this off my phone. Come on, baby. Let's...
Don't talk.
All right, so the wrong one tape, but it's Stan Van Gundy going, Jason Tatum always is upset, always. And then they replay the play where Tatum shot the three, and he goes, see, right there, he didn't even get touched. I don't know what he's crying about. Like, to that effect, it was so awesome to hear Stan Van Gundy just feeling how all of us feel.
Yeah, it's nice to hear the announcers, like, just voice exactly what everybody else is sick of watching and sick of seeing, right? Like, that's what makes you not a Celtics fan, right? Like, for me, it's those kind of things. It's also just the style of play. I don't like the 53-point shots per game, and I don't like Missoula's coaching style. So I'm really turned off on the Celtics, but I do think they are the heavy favorites. They should. If they can't get through this Eastern Conference, this team is never getting there, right? Like, this is all set up for them to be in the NBA Finals. It would be if they don't get there, it's a shocking upset, and then you got to change the team. And I don't know what that means, but that's the first thing I would do is change the coach.
And Jaylen Brown be traded too. But I'm going to tell you what, we're going to commercial right now, Pistol. You might want to turn on your radio and listen to this. My brother Dave is going to come in with a different point of view here on the Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM. In Manchester, you're listening to nhtalkradio.com. Yeah, I remember yesterday talked a little bit of financial stuff. I will say, looking at CNBC.com right now, Dow Jones down 380 points on the day. Wait to see what happens Monday after Israel and Iran go at it this weekend, because you're not seeing it on mainstream media, but it's all over Twitter. It's coming within the next day to two, people. And you can see the crypto markets are edging down. People ain't talking really about why. The stock market's going down. When these two countries start fighting, oil, lots of different stuff is going to rise to the forefront. This is all you will see over the news next week, is my prediction. So I'm just getting out in front of it, talking a little bit about it right now as we mix in other pleasantries and Celtics discussion. My brother Dave, I know you are going to be opposite of my take on this Celtics team right now.
Well, I mean, it's hard to support your take. I just think it's an easy take to have. I think it's the one that's out there in the media. You watch no matter what you look at, it's the concern. The Celtics, you know, should be concerned. They're not the same team. They're sloppy. They're weak. They're not physical. I don't buy any of it. I don't think you win your conference by 15 games and, you know, basically cakewalk. clock to the end of the season waiting for the playoffs because you're weak and weak-minded.
I think the Celtics haven't done quite as well against the good teams over the past 20 to 30 games as their record would simulate or suggest, Dave. And I would say, I mean, what's your main contention? That the eyeball test, because I agree with you, the Celtics have looked awesome, but is your bigger contention that the Celtics have to be good because their record is so great?
No, I think the Celtics are just that good. Listen, they've played for nothing. They've had nothing. They've had the one seed locked up. Even going into last night, the Knicks are trying to get a home court. The Knicks are playing for the two seed, and not for nothing, the Knicks is probably the single biggest market in the NBA. So if you're the NBA, you want the Knicks to win. It's good for your sport. It's good for your brand. You want them to be competitive. You want them to make the conference finals, and you want them to play the Celtics, and you want people to think the Knicks can win. But what I will tell you is this is eerily reminiscent to, like, the Kevin Durant in Golden State years when Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics played them and beat them both times, and everybody was like, oh, the Celtics can beat them. The Celtics were never going to beat them. There was no chance that the Celtics were ever going to beat them. That's what's happening now. People think the Knicks can't beat the Celtics. They're starting five last night, or at one point I'm watching McBride, DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Hartnight. I don't even know. I can't even pronounce the dude's name. It's like I'm looking at the team like, dude, like these guys aren't going to start on the top five teams in the NBA. And they're representing the Knicks and kicking the crap out of the Celtics. I don't buy that for a second.
So do you buy the fact, I mean, if we want to talk records, and if we want to extrapolate it out to an 82-game season, we could do this mathematical back and forth, but do you know that the New York Knicks are 17-3 in games that OG Anunoby plays?
I did. Did you also know that, like, Luka Doncic in Dallas is 16-2 in their last 18? You think I just look at that and I'm like, dude, that's and I know I understand it's conspiracy theory, but I'm like, the NBA has done a tremendous job of making two teams look like they had a real chance of going in there and beating Denver and beating the Celtics.
I don't particularly love Dallas. I will say they're better than I thought, and that's what I saw last night when it comes to the New York Knicks. I just think the Knicks are a lot better than I thought, and not for nothing, it was Kendrick Perkins and somebody else, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it was Barkley and Shaq, actually, who said Jalen Brunson has been by far the best player in the Eastern Conference this year. Not close. And I was like, ooh, like I would not have said that prior to hearing it last night and watching that game last night. But what, you would disagree with that take? Because my eyeballs tell me Jalen Brunson better than anybody on the Celtics.
100%. Yeah, I would never agree with that. I mean, Jalen Brunson plays hard. And we can, listen, there's something to be said for sticking your nose in, taking offensive fouls in the third to last game of the season. If Jason Tatum did that and got hurt like Giannis did and got hurt against the Celtics, like those guys that play hard, eventually they get hurt. I mean, it's Jalen Brunson's on a nice little run, but I'm just going to say, like, you've never, in all my years, I don't really remember Michael Jordan ever taking charges. I don't remember LeBron James taking charges. I don't remember Kevin Durant taking charges. You don't want your best players, especially in meaningless games, stepping in and taking charges. That's Tom Thibodeau. That's why he's been a good fit with Jalen Brunson, but I'll just say, like, that's not sustainable, and in the playoffs, it's going to get totally taken advantage of.
I would agree with that take, Dave, because his third drawn charge last night, Jalen Brunson, the team was up by 23 points when he stepped in and took the charge. I'm just like, well, that's not really what you want to have happen, especially as they were going to commercial and he was holding his wrist. And like, you know, the guy maybe just got hurt. So that would definitely back up what you're saying. But I just feel the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau coaching. I mean, first of all, there's no doubt the Knicks have the coaching advantage. If it's going, I don't want to insult the guy by calling him other names, but Joe Mazzulla against Tom Thibodeau is a just distinct disadvantage for the Boston Celtics. You can see how last night, when there were a couple baskets scored by the Celtics, Thibodeau right out, like, all upset, timeout. He did it four or five times. He knows the flow of the game much better than Mazzulla does. But I just think the mentality, the tough dog mentality, they have that where the Celtics haven't shown me that they have it yet, Dave.
Yeah, so listen, the reason Thibodeau fits well over in New York is because of the players. They've gone out and they've gotten players that fit his coaching style. If for people that don't remember, Thibodeau was the coach for Chicago. He got that team as the number one seed with Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose looked tremendous and might have even won MVP one of those years. He didn't go anywhere. He never won anything in the playoffs. It just never happened for him. Then the team fell apart. Then he went to Minnesota, and he had a nice run with Minnesota where he got that team looking real good, and then they fell apart because when they realized that style of play doesn't carry over into the postseason because everybody gets physical in the postseason. The teams have a tendency to turn out. Now, Thibodeau's in his, what, second real good year here in New York. Like, this is where last year they were good. They beat Cleveland in that first round. Now they're coming into the second year. They better win, because if they don't win in the first round and second round next year, you can expect there to be a huge regression from the Knicks because of Thibodeau's coaching style.
Totally agree with this. I am fully on board, and I'm really only concerned about this year. And what would potentially happen if the Celtics line up to play the Knicks. As I texted last night to the Pistol, I said, do the Knicks really want to get the number two seed? Because there's a chance now that the Knicks can catch the Bucks. I don't think it's going to happen. But even if it's the number three seed, like, the Knicks should be doing everything in their power to try to avoid the 76ers. I would be terribly upset if I see those two teams playing together in the first round. But I just think the Knicks, the toughness factor is what scares me, Dave, the advantage over the Celts.
The issue with that is because of the way Thibodeau coaches, he can't turn them off. And so that's why they're going to continue to play. And then when they match up against the 76ers, that's where a lot of people, that's where like things like this start to break down at that level. And the NBA, the players know, and the players on the team, but if they stop playing, it all turns negative. Thibodeau's going to, like, so they have to continue to play and then deal with play the hand that they get. And if it ends up being the 76ers, you're going to hear a lot of people, including Stephen A. Smith, who loves to talk the Knicks. You'll hear him talk about how terrible a decision it was to win these games at the end of the season.
I hate Stephen A. Smith. I don't care what he says. I absolutely think his personality, I despise it on the TV and radio. But the East, Dave, for me, it's all about trying to play Cleveland and Orlando. Like that, and even Milwaukee. I just think the Celtics can beat Milwaukee, but Cleveland and Orlando are in the 4 and 5 seeds right now. I am just not afraid of those two teams at all. The Knicks, I am afraid of just because they're obviously playing their best right now, and they're tough, and they've got a team, like you said, that meshes with their coach. So they scare me, and Brunson just last night looked like he could go by any of our guys. But Philly's still my team. I'm telling you right now, Philly's like over 10-1 to win the East, and I just see Philly's coming out of the East right now, if you ask me who's going to win the East.
Well, I'll tell you, my take is that the Celtics are Secretariat, everybody else is Sham. You can go bet your money on Sham. There's no chance the Secretariat's going to lose. The Celtics are significantly better than any other team in the East. It's not close.
Miami Heat, they match up and say they get the 8th seed, which is where they're at today, and they play the Celtics in the first round. How many games do you think that series goes?
Maybe five, maybe four. It's not going more than that. I mean, last year, Miami got a nice little path. Things just happened to work out. Giannis gets hurt, or Jimmy Butler, really took it to him. Like, he had an A game in Game 3. He kind of took over that series a little bit. Listen, they had some good players. Martin was playing real good. They had the little guard. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they had guys that were playing really, really good basketball last year. That signed for big money in the offseason left the Heat. The Heat are a totally different team this year. They are not, I am not worried about the Heat one iota. I think they go out in 4 or 5.
It was Caleb something, wasn't it? Remember that one guy from Miami?
It was Caleb Martin.
Yeah, he was on fire.
Right, and they had the little guard. They had a little guard, too. I can't remember his name, but he left. And they both got over $10 million a year on free agency.
And Max Strus is gone, too. He went over to Cleveland.
And Strus, yes. They left a lot of... It's just a totally different team. The Celtics are a totally different team, too. Celtics added in Chris Porzingis, added in Drew Holiday, lost Grant Williams, lost Marcus Butler. The Celtics are a totally different team. When I hear people try to talk about last year, I'm like, dude, the Celtics are a different team. That argument goes no water.
I agree with you. They haven't proven the toughness yet. We're going to find out coming up, Dave. Next week, we'll be talking more about this. The Sports Machine, every day, 10 to 11 on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com.